Welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for TTM autograph collectors, sponsored by sportscardforum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion, and by thetrovesportsden.com. Come and hang out and chat with baseball pros online. And now, here's our host, Jeff Baker.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM autograph collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I am the host for the program. This is Season 2, Episode 37. It is Sunday, October 11th, and we have a fun interview with a real interesting gentleman. His name is Justin Schaefer. He goes by Charm City Graphs on Facebook and on Twitter, and he's a collector of TTM cards as well, but he also collects sports cards from around the world, from Korean baseball and Taiwan baseball. And it was really interesting to talk to him. Justin is a veteran of the Air Force, and he's been all over the world traveling. And as he traveled, he built his collection and kind of got interested in baseball from different countries. So he collects cards and TTM from cards from players from different countries, as well as NASCAR and current players and retired players. So Justin posts all the time on Facebook. His name is Justin Schaefer, and he is at Charm City Graphs on YouTube and on Facebook and on Twitter as well. So hopefully you will enjoy our interview. Once again, my name is Jeff Baker. If you have any feedback, questions, comments about this show or any show, please send me your emails at ttamcast@yahoo.com. Once again, my email address is ttamcast@yahoo.com. The podcast is available anywhere podcasts are available, including Spotify, Podbean, Google, iTunes, Stitcher, and we are on TuneIn as well. If you have an Alexa device, you can play the TTM podcast. We are also on Sports Card Forum. We have a forum on Sports Card Forum. So please spread the word, let people know about our program, and I appreciate that. Once again, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns about the program, send your email to ttmcast@yahoo.com. And now on to our first segment, which is Baker's Dozen, which is kind of a brain dump of what's been going on in the hobby. Kind of a slow week in terms of news for the hobby. I don't see there's any really big releases coming up. Football is in full swing. Unfortunately, my Patriots are not playing this week because of COVID, so they will be playing the Broncos and hopefully beating the Broncos next week. I know the Tennessee Titans are having problems. We are in full tilt in Major League Baseball. Happy that the Dodgers are advancing. I'm rooting for the Dodgers and Mookie Betts this year. So hopefully they will go out and beat TTM Dustin's Braves. Sorry, TTM Dustin, but rooting for the Dodgers. And I actually like to see the Rays get in over the Houston Astros. We have the NBA Finals still going on. The Lakers failed to close out the championship last night, so I think they will beat the Miami Heat, who was a tough, scrappy team, but I think the Lakers will close that out. Hopefully, you're doing well in your fantasy. I'm not having a great fantasy season this year. I'm doing okay. I'm 2-2 in both my leagues, but we'll see. It's still early, but it's kind of been a strange season for fantasy in terms of hobby things. Just a couple. One thing that I saw I noticed that stamps are going up, which is not great. So if you can go out and stock up on forever stamps at the current price, feel free, because stamps are going up. So the cost of TTMing is going up. One note for the show in a couple weeks, and I think 2 weeks right around for Halloween, I'm going to do a Halloween show, and I'm looking for stories. So if you have any stories, I'm going to do a TTM trick or treat. So I'm looking for TTM trick or treat stories in terms of TTMs that you've got returned that you weren't expecting that became a treat, or TTM tricks in terms of things that you do to get successful TTMs. We always like that. And also any horror stories you have about TTMs in terms of sending out TTM requests that either never came back or TTM requests that got ruined for one reason or another. I know I always have a problem with the guys not putting my cards back in my top loaders or not returning the top loaders, but those I'm kind of looking those kind of stories. So if you're interested in being on the show in terms, for five quick minutes, quick minute interview about TTM trick or treats, send me an email to ttmcast@yahoo.com. Once again, if you're interested in being on the show just for like a quick 5 minute interview about your TTM trick or treats, I'll be recording interviews in the next couple weeks, so we can record interview anytime that's convenient for you, preferably after work, after 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And anyone that does record something for the show will get a special treat, a special surprise treat. So please, if you have any trick-or-treat TTM stories and want to share it with our listeners, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. And that wraps up Baker's Dozen for the week. As I said, not much going on. And now on to the Vern Rapp Minute. The Vern Rapp Minute is dedicated to Mr. Vern Rapp, who passed away prior to me sending out a TTM request. And we lost a few people in the world of baseball and celebrity this past week. Of course, the first, we lost a Hall of Famer in the Yankee great pitcher, Mr. Whitey Ford. Mr. Whitey Ford was a huge friend to the hobby, was signing all the time, and recently he had been sick, so he had stopped signing, but he was a good signer for a long time. He was 91 years old, and sad to lose another Hall of Famer. It's not been a great month in terms of losing Hall of Famers. He joins, obviously, Bob Gibson and Lou Brock and Al Kaline and... I don't know, who else did we lose? We lost another Hall of Famer, and it just escapes me. And it was Bob Gibson and Lou Brock, and now we lost Whitey Ford and Al Kaline. So again, sorry to for losing another great MLB legend. A couple other people in the world of baseball who passed away. We lost Fred Wentz, who was a pitcher he pitched a couple games for the Red Sox in the early 70s in 1971. He was on the Philadelphia Phillies. Actually, was featured in the 1971 Topps card, number 92. Mr. Fred Wentz, former pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies, passed away. And we lost another Philly from the 1990s, from 1991 to 1995, Mr. Kim Batista, who was an infielder for the Phillies, played second base, shortstop, third base. He passed away recently. So, unfortunately, we lost a couple of former Major League players. And then lastly, we lost a rock legend, Mr. Eddie Van Halen, who passed away from cancer. He was 65, obviously. He was a rock legend and founder of the Van Halen band, and he was obviously a superstar guitarist, and we lost him. He was 65. So that's it for Tess this past week. Again, condolences to their families, and we are sorry for your loss.
This week's TTM returns are brought to you by Sports Card Forum. Find players' addresses, see who's signing, and more, all for free. SportsCardForum.com, the ultimate in sports card trading and discussion.
And now it's time for returns. We kind of wrap up our returns for the week, and just two returns this week, but kind of two good ones. I have been sending out stuff I've been a little lull, lag, whatever you want to call it, in terms of sending out stuff, but I did get a return back from Mr. Jose Canseco, which was thrilled. I think it was the fifth time they had sent out to Jose, and it was my first successful return from him. I got him signed on a 1987 Topps, his Gold Cup card. Very happy to get that. I had sent out, two or three different cards, and this is the one that kind of stuck, and I don't know what the secret of it was. Just kind of, it's timing or luck. I saw he signed a couple other cards that people had posted, so congratulations for your returns from Mr. Canseco, but I was thrilled. I always wanted to have a Canseco card signed. I actually have a ticket stub from I think it was a game that he actually pitched at Fenway Park, and I had a friend of mine got it signed for me, but I do have it's my second Jose Canseco signature, so I was a big fan of his growing up, and it was a thrill to get Mr. Canseco back as a TTM success. My other success was from my 1978 set. I sent out a card that had been a rookie card that's been signed by Dennis Lamp and Craig Mitchell, and I got Roy Thomas to sign it, so three out of the four guys signed it. It's never going to be complete because the other gentleman has passed away, but three out of four is nice. So Roy Thomas signed that 1978 card for me, his rookie card, and that took a couple weeks. Canseco's card, by the way, I sent out I think in June or July, and that came back on the same day as the Roy Thomas card, which I was on Thursday. So that was my two returns for the week. As I said, I haven't been sending out stuff. I'm going to try to send out in the next week or two to get caught up and get some returns. I did send out some stuff last week, but we'll see. So that wraps up returns. And now on to our interview segment. As I said, I interviewed Justin Schaefer from Charm City Autographs, and we had a great talk about TTAM collecting, about his passion for international baseball, for Korean baseball and Taiwanese baseball, and how he got involved in that. He's a really interesting man, so hopefully you enjoy our interview.
This week's interview is brought to you by the Trove Sports Den. Come and hang out and chat with baseball pros from past and present online. Visit thetrovesportsden.com and join in the fun today.
Joining us on the TTMcast hotline from his home in Tucson, Arizona, via Baltimore, because he's a huge Orioles fan, is Mr. Justin Schaefer, who is on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube as Charm City Autograph. Welcome to the program, Justin.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to get to talk to you.
Yeah, you know what? It's obvious from all your posts on social media that you're very passionate about our hobby and passionate about collecting. So I always love to talk to people that share a passion with collecting. And you know, let's get right into it. How did you get involved in collecting?
Well, I'm originally from Hagerstown, Maryland, and we have a minor league baseball team there. So is my earliest memories were at the ballpark, you know, going to games. And we're actually lucky enough to still have that minor league baseball team, maybe not next year after the contraction because they were on the list, but
that's so sad.
yeah it's pretty terrible. I hate what's happening in minor league baseball.
Yep. I'm in Massachusetts, and they're talking about contracting the Lowell Spinners, which is the one of the Red Sox Class A teams.
And yeah, the New York Penn League. Yep. I remember. Yeah,
exactly. And it'd be a real shame because the community's really rallied behind it. I don't know, Lowell's kind of a downtrodden, lower income community, and they built this beautiful park, and there's always a lot of people there, and it's their Class A team, so that you get all the guys right out of college and all the guys yeah. right out of the draft. So I saw spent a 10-day in Papelbon and Jackie Bradley and all the guys coming up when they, you know, before anyone knew who the heck they were.
Yeah, that's one of the best things about the lower levels of the minors. You pretty much see everybody.
Hagerstown, is that a double-A or single-A?
Well, when I was younger, they were double-A affiliate of the Baltimore Orioles. They were in the Eastern League. And then I want to say around the 90s, the Delmarva Shorebirds came around. And they got the affiliate from the Orioles. And then our stadium became a low A stadium because it's weird with the politics, but the town never put any money into the stadium. So the classification of the stadium just kept dropping, and then it was hard to get affiliates. I'm surprised they've been able to keep an affiliate for this long because of the condition that the stadium's in. But I'd say around the 90s, they became the Toronto Blue Jays. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
I'm still at work right now, so the phone's probably going to be ringing. So, yeah, they became a Toronto Blue Jays affiliate for about 4 or 5 years. We had some decent prospects come through. And then after that, they became the San Francisco Giants for a couple years. Then it was the New York Mets. And for the last 5 years, I would say that it's the they're a Washington Nationals affiliate now.
Okay, well, back in the day in the 80s, because some of the teams I saw a lot of the Eastern League teams, you know, the New Britain when they were the Red Sox and the Twins and the and I don't know if you remember the main guy, they were the Phillies affiliate. We used to see all the Eastern League teams. So what are some of the players that you saw growing up, you know, coming through the Orioles system?
Oh, well, the Orioles, we always had high draft picks, but none of them ever really panned out. It's probably easier to talk about the other draft picks that it came through. But so Chipper Jones, Todd Helton, Vernon Wells, Jason Wirth. I think most notably what Hagerstown's known for as far as minor league baseball goes is Bryce Harper started his career there.
Oh, that must have been cool.
Yeah, it really was, because my parents have season tickets. And one of the cool things that the team would do is before the season starts, they would have a meet the team night for the season ticket holders. And they were actually able to get Harper on a couple items for me. I had his junior college baseball cards and was able to get some of those signed. But that year in the South Atlantic League was pretty crazy with the talent level, because you had Bryce Harper, Manny Machado, Christian Yelich came through. So just those three guys alone.
We had the Manchester Fisher Cats. I don't know if they're the Blue Jays double-A team. Probably 2 or 3 years ago. So we had Vladdy and Bichette and, you know, all of them. Yeah, Biggio, all those guys. And I probably went to see about, I don't know, 15 games. But I was going to ask you, just in terms of getting autographs, it must have been cool as a kid. For me, I'm a little older than you, and I feel a little embarrassed going up and asking these 18, 19-year-old kids for their autograph, if you know what I mean.
No, I totally understand. I remember the first time that I asked someone for their autograph that was younger for me. I calling them sir, I kind of died a little bit on the inside. You kind of get looked at differently by the players and other people when you're an adult asking for autographs, and, you know, they automatically assume that you're just trying to sell autographs or things like that, and it's not actually a hobby that you enjoy, which it kind of stinks to get grouped in with those types of people.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of one of the reasons why I gravitated towards the TTM, because it's a little more anonymous, and most of the guys that I ask for autographs are the retired players. I don't really do much with minor leagues or current players nowadays. I really like the veteran players, the older players.
Yeah, I totally understand.
Now you have you have a couple of unique things that you're really into, and that's one of the reasons why I wanted to talk to you. You're into Korean baseball and Chinese baseball and some different types of, you know, professional baseball. How'd you get into that? Those kind of offshoots of professional baseball.
Well, I'm in the Air Force, so I've been stationed overseas a lot. And one of the good things about baseball is it doesn't matter if you speak the language of that country that you're in, because I mean, baseball is the same. Baseball is like a universal language, you know. So I was in Korea. This was my third time living in Korea in 2016 through 2017. And I was researching if there was actually any Korean baseball cards. And in the late 90s, early 2000s, there was some KBO, Korean Baseball Organization releases. And then they stopped until, I want to say, 2014. So I was actually able to find Korean baseball cards, and I would start going to the games early to get autographs. And it was just extremely easy getting autographs, and the other fans were so welcoming, and they would help me point out the players and like show me what players had been traded, and help me get their autographs. So I just started doing that. And during the 2017, that'd be the 2016 off season going into 2017, Seoul, South Korea had one of the opening rounds for the World Baseball Classic.
Sure.
So it was Korea, the Netherlands, which was loaded. They had Angelton Simmons, Jonathan Scope.
My boy Bogarts.
Yeah, yeah, Xander. He was really cool. I got him a few times. Super nice guy. They were just crazy loaded. And then they had Chinese Taipei and Team Israel. So I like to get those oddball cards signed because when the players see me, I'm like a 6'3" American dude with their cards. They kind of appreciate it more, and they kind of go out of their way to sign autographs for you. So I started researching the CPBL, which is the Chinese Professional Baseball League. Even though it's the Chinese Baseball League, they actually play their games in Taiwan, and the players on that team are the Chinese Taipei team. Is that the players from that league make up Chinese Taipei. So I was able to actually find some cards. I had to go through a proxy service, found this lady in Taiwan that could translate their version of eBay and the Yahoo Marketplace to get me these cards. So I got those cards. And then I started getting got all the cards in time to get autographs at the World Baseball Classic. So that was pretty awesome. And I got really lucky because I ended up getting stationed in Tucson, Arizona. And that next year, one of the teams from Taiwan actually came to Tucson for their spring training. So I had all these cards, and it was just me. I had to, I had the team to myself. It was every day. It was like my own little private autograph session with the guys, and it was pretty awesome.
Is autograph collecting popular in the Far East in some of these countries, or not so much?
It is and it isn't as far as collecting to sell them. There's not really that flipping culture, but collecting them to just collect and put up on your mantle and enjoy, it's more of that culture, if it makes any sense.
Sure. Were the cards expensive? Is there a Mike Trout rookie card in KBO?
There's guys that they'll compare them to, but as far as finding values, it's kind of hard because the Koreans, they tend to overprice their cards. Like, just a basic relic or your most basic player or I should say average player, their autographs and relics will run you $10 at least. Just that's just a starting point for a guy that has spent his entire career in the Korean equivalent of the minor leagues and maybe had a cup of coffee. But yeah, so they can be expensive, the relics and the autographs. The base cards are usually around a couple bucks.
You got featured in a news article from your collecting. How did that come about?
Oh, yeah. A couple times. I've been interviewed on Korean TV, Taiwanese TV.
Do you speak the language?
Very, very minimal. I try to learn how to ask them for an autograph in their native language and please and thank you, stuff like that. But honestly, it just comes out, or it came about because I'm a foreigner, because I look different, honestly. I mean, like I said before, I'm the only 6'3" white dude getting autographs in these foreign countries. And then the newscasters or the broadcasters that are there, they see me and then they're like, oh, wow, this guy actually has these cards. So they're intrigued and they always come over and start talking to me. I tell them how I got started, and they seem to be really appreciative that there's someone outside of their culture that appreciates collecting cards of them.
Do you collect just the cards, or have you gotten pictures and uniforms and stuff like that as well?
Yeah. My favorite Korean player, he ended up giving me one of his game-worn jerseys.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, and then some of the foreigners in the KBO, when I say foreigners, the Americans, yeah. I've struck up friendships with them. They've given me jerseys. My favorite player in the CPBL, he gave me one of his jerseys. So, yeah, I get bats and stuff like that. So, yeah, they do a really good job of hooking me up, so I can't complain.
Now, how do you display your stuff? Do you have a man cave with all your cool memorabilia?
Not yet. That is my dream. With me being in the military, I move every 3 to 4 years. So once I figure out where I'm actually going to retire and kind of make my forever home, then I can start working on the man cave, because I have a lot of stuff that I'd like to display.
Now, you don't always only collect foreign cards. You're a TTMer. You post all the time. How long have you been TTMing?
I would probably say 20 years.
Wow.
Because I'm 39 right now. I started when I was in high school. Well, before high school, actually. And I actually started doing TTM. Who was it? My first two TTM letters I wrote were to Rick Ankiel and Adam Kennedy. And that was before they made the majors, if that tells you how long I've been doing it.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
I saw Rick Ankiel pitch his first game.
Really?
I was driving across country, and I think he pitched in St. Louis, and he was awesome.
Yeah. I got a chance to see him when he was in the Carolina League. He was pitching for they were called the Prince William Cannons at the time. Now they're called they were the Potomac Nationals, but now they become the Fredericksburg Nationals. But it was kind of weird seeing a Cardinals affiliate in the Carolina League.
Yeah, I think those days are, as we talked about, are few and far between. I think they're gonna ruin minor league baseball as we know and love it. I think, and I think they're just gonna be close to their major league team, and they're not gonna be all in these far reaching places. And it's gonna be sad.
Yeah, definitely is.
I really enjoy minor league baseball. I like going to minor league baseball, honestly, more than I like going to Fenway Park nowadays. It's just a better experience, I think.
Yeah, same here. I absolutely love minor league baseball. I could take that over MLB any day. It's a lot more affordable, a lot more enjoyable, and the players are usually nicer when it comes to interacting with fans.
I agree. But speaking with Justin Schaefer, Justin is on Instagram at Charm City Graphs. He is on Charm City Autographs. He is on Facebook. He is he has a Twitter account. He's Charm City Graphs. He is on YouTube. He's at Charm City Autographs. He is a very active poster. You're always posting. How much time do you spend, on a week sending out TTMs, and do you write your own stuff out, or are you typing it? How much time you spend TTMing?
I try to block out an hour a day, so at least 7 hours a week. I like to handwrite everything. I guess that makes me kind of old school, but I try to think of, if I was a player, would I be more inclined to sign an autograph for somebody that took the time to write me a letter, or would I be more inclined to just sign for someone that, wrote out a letter on a computer and all you got to do is change the name,
Do you ask personal questions or ask questions about their career?
Sometimes. Usually, the people that I write to, I try to include a story, because most of the guys that I write to, I'm not just doing it to do it just to get the autograph, It's because I'm either working on a set, or it's one of those guys that was a huge prospect in the minors and I could never get them, but now, they kind of fizzled out or something like that, I try to share a memory with them. So I try to do about 7 hours a day. And then recently I've started sending cards to Japan, for the NPB, Nippon Professional Baseball Players, or for that league. So I've been on that lately, and that's taken me some time to figure out how to actually write the address properly so it can get delivered.
Japanese?
No, not at all. I know hello. That's about it.
I work for a Japanese company, and they're actually headquartered in Nobuoka. So I deal with the Japanese all the time, but I don't know a word of Japanese. But if you need someone to translate, I know many Japanese people. I have all sorts of people in the states that I work with and people in Japan. So maybe that'll help you there.
Yeah, I might have to hit you up. I'm having trouble translating some of the websites for their independent baseball teams over there. So
one of my coworkers went over to Japan, and he was Japanese, and he came back and he brought a gift, and he was a huge baseball fan, and he brought me a Tokyo Giant baseball hat, which I cherish.
So, oh, nice!
It's not a game used one, but it's a mm-hmm. nice one, if you know what I mean.
They have a nice logo.
Yeah, I haven't been over to Japan, but I do want to go over, and I'd like to go over and see a game in Japan, because I think that would be kind of cool.
Oh yeah, the atmosphere over there is awesome. That's kind of one of the reasons why I love foreign baseball so much, is because it reminds me of the minor leagues. Because even though, it's almost like minor league baseball as far as, okay, it's not MLB, but it's still really good baseball, and it's just more fun with the songs and the cheering and the dancing. It keeps you engaged in the game.
What sets are you working on for collecting?
2008 Tops.
Nice. How are you doing on that?
I counted the other day. I have, 103 cards signed, but
go ahead. I was just going to ask you what your success rate is, because I'm working on the 78 set, and I got about 350 of them, and I'm starting to get hard.
Yeah, I'm kind of running into some of the difficulties with the more modern set, because a lot of these players now, they don't sign TTM the way that the older guys would in your set. A lot of them now, I've actually had to start doing private signings. I've never done that before, and I sent off a couple cards just last week for a couple guys. And I haven't decided if I'm going to do it. It's a huge set, so it has Series 1, Series 2, and the updates and highlights set.
Yep.
So I'm like, do I want to do the updates and highlights, because that set also has World Baseball Classic cards in it. So that's a lot of foreign players, and yeah, me trying to find their address. That's one of the main reasons that I'm actually sending cards to Japan, because it has Kosuke Fukudome, Tadahito Iguchi, Kaz Matsui, and these guys all have multiple cards in the set. So it's going to be tough, but I like the challenge.
Do you prep the cards? Because that's one of the reasons why I went with more of an older set. I had three sets worth of cards, so that was one of the other reasons. But the newer cards, because of the gloss, they don't hold the autograph as well.
Yeah, I prep them. I use the white erasers, the plastic erasers.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried the baby powder route, and that didn't work out too well for me, because I guess you got to pay attention to what is actually in the baby powder, because not all baby powder is made the same, and it can it can actually scratch the surface of the cards. I found that out the hard way. And then I remember there was a time when people would use Windex wipes to wipe down the card, but the erasers haven't failed me, so I'm just going to stick with that. It can be time consuming, but you know, I can't really complain.
Do you do any other sports?
Yes. Sorry. Yeah, I'm at work and the phone's never stopped ringing. Actually, NASCAR. I'm a big NASCAR fan, and those guys are awesome when it comes to signing. You could probably buy this year's Don Russ NASCAR set, send it all out PTM, and you could probably get at least 75% to 80% of the set signed just through the mail. That's how good these drivers are at signing.
Do you think because they're not dealing with as much volume, or it's just kind of, it's kind of like dealing with the hockey players? The guys that are in the NHL, played in the NHL, seems to be a little more open to signing than some of the other sports.
I think it all has to do with popularity, honestly, because NASCAR isn't nowhere near as popular as it used to be, and hockey hasn't been that popular in America. So teams don't get the volume that basketball, football, and baseball guys do.
Do you consider yourself a risk taker in terms of who you're going to send out to, or do you just kind of stick to, you know, the guys you see, the guys are signing, either, you know, people are posting, or that, you know, they get posted on one of the online sites?
That's actually a really good question. I would say 50-50. So I'll look at Twitter and Facebook, and you'll see guys that are signing, and like some of them have a turnaround of a week to 2 weeks. So I'm like, all right, I'll send out to him so I can get a quick win to keep me motivated, you know. And then yep, some of those other guys, I'll send out. I'll if I have multiples of the card, I'll be like, okay, I'm not really worried about if I get this back or not. If I get it back, it'll be awesome. If not, no big deal. So I would say for every two sure things I send out, I send one that is difficult.
Okay. Do you send out more than one card, or what's your thought on sending out multiple cards?
I do a max of three.
Yeah, all the same card or all
different? No. Always different cards. And then if I have any multiples, then I'll usually just put on the soft sleeve that, hey, if you want these, go ahead and keep them for the player.
Do you have a feeling about posting cards or posting a guy, you know, a card that might be a quote hard guy, and posting online and letting people know that you got that guy, or that really doesn't bother you one way or the other?
No, it doesn't bother me. I like to share the wealth, you know, I guess. And plus I'm not really one of those guys that tries to keep the information to myself, if that makes any sense.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because I mean, I would kind of want someone to do the thing for me, you know, to share an address.
Who are some of the surprises or long shots you've gotten this year?
I wouldn't say any long shots, but I was really happy to get Von Joshua. I'm not sure if you remember
yep.
him. But
yeah, sure.
I actually had one of his TPBL cards. He was a manager over there. And I ended up sending to him and was lucky enough to get the card back. Because one of the things that you run into with these guys that have played overseas, they may not have those cards. So they want to keep them. So that's why if I get extras of their Japanese or Taiwanese cards, you know, I try to send it to them for them to keep them.
And yeah, I mean, they must really enjoy seeing those cards, because it's not like a Topps or a Donruss that they probably see 10 times a week.
You might
see that card once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And a lot of times when I get the autographs in person and I have their foreign cards, they're usually really surprised, because they'll say they've never seen this card before, you know. So I try to take extras with me and give it to the player.
The card, you know, we were talking about sending out cards that aren't necessarily the Topps or Donruss to players, mm-hmm. and them probably, you know, enjoying seeing a card they don't see all the time.
Yeah, I'm just attracted to the oddball cards, because it's something different. Because it seems like you always see the same designs repeated over and over. And that's part of the reason why I like collecting foreign cards, because it's all new.
Do you have a lot of Orioles cards in your collection? You know, the you know, Jim Palmers and Eddie Murray's and Cal Ripken's and those guys?
More Jim Palmer cards, because his autograph is a lot cheaper to buy than a Cal Ripken or Eddie Murray. And plus Eddie Murray, Jim Palmer, he's a broadcaster for the Orioles. He does their television games. And so after the games, he would you could get his autograph as he was leaving the stadium, because he didn't. He parked in the player's parking lot, but the way he came out was through the media entrance. So you could usually get his autograph that way. Cal, he's a lot tougher, but he's kind of like Bob Feller. Like, if you don't have his autograph, you're kind of not trying, because he does so many signings. But he's so popular in Maryland, like he's a god. Even when he does his paid signings, he still commands a pretty high price. So those guys, I try to get them on baseballs first, and then work on getting them on cards. And the Orioles, every year, well, they didn't do it this year. They had canceled their fan fest, but they would do a fan fest every year. And usually guys like Eddie Murray, Brooks Robinson, Jim Palmer would be there. Cal, not so much, but you could, it was a good way to get their autographs then. It kind of like with the, I believe the Red Sox have a winter caravan. It's in, what is it? The Mohegan Sun Casino.
This year is actually in Springfield. They opened a new casino at AMGM in Springfield.
Yeah.
I actually went to it this year. It was very disappointing.
Oh, that's a shame. Because I always see the photos, and it looks like it's pretty cool because I think it's an entire weekend at a casino, so the players are usually roaming around.
Yeah, what they did this time is it was, it was in the casino, and it was the whole week. It was the weekend, but they basically gave you it was one autograph ticket, and you didn't know who you were getting. So basically you said, okay, go to this room at this time, and then you waited in the room with 30 or 40 people, and then they'd bring you into this ballroom, and they'd say, okay, you're going to get XYZ player, and you couldn't really prepare. So I ended up getting Rafael Devers, which was kind of cool.
Yeah, that's a good
one. I got a picture with Louis Tiant, but you didn't have a choice. It was just you went in this room. So,
gotcha.
I know people were looking for Wade Boggs and all these other guys. But they would sign in their one thing, but that was it. They basically sequestered the players so that they weren't interacting with the fans the whole time.
No, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, I was I hadn't been to their Winterfest at all, and my wife took me this past year. It was right before COVID. It was in I think the end of January. So no one knew COVID at this point, and it wasn't a great take. I don't think I would go again unless they change around. But so yeah, you and I talking before we started recording, and you are in spring training heaven in Arizona.
Yes.
My favorite part of Arizona is spring training, February and into March. Have you had a lot of luck during spring training?
This year was pretty horrible. And the crappy thing is, this was going to be a huge year for baseball out here because not only did they have spring training, but they had the qualifiers for the Olympics were supposed to be out here. It was the Tournament of Americas. So that was going to take place up in the Phoenix metro area. And then also they were going to have the qualifiers for the World Baseball Classic, and all of those games were going to take place down in Tucson. And they had actually started the practices before COVID hit out here, but I wasn't able to make it to any of the game or any of the practices. But spring training is awesome if that's one of the things that's on your bucket list, as far as baseball goes, I would do it. But it's like we were talking before, it's not as easy to get autographs as it used to be, because now, once the actual spring training games start, it's almost like a major league game as far as buying your tickets in advance. Back when I lived in Phoenix up in 2004, 2005, you could walk up to the box office and still get tickets. You could actually get seats. Now, you're lucky if you walk up and you can get the grass or lawn seating.
Yeah,
it's just gotten so huge, and there's so many people here now. And with the influx of fans, it means your access to the players it's getting less and less now.
Right. I mean, I remember in the 90s and then into the early 2000s, it was always perfect. The guys were always willing to sign and talk to you, and you weren't fighting crowds, and you weren't spending a ton of money either. So it was always a good time, but. We can't pine for the olden days, I guess.
The ticket prices have definitely gone up everywhere, charges for parking now. But one of the good things about being out here for me is the Korean teams also come out here for spring training. So starting in January is when the Korean teams arrive. And so I'm in heaven for January till March is when most of the Korean teams are here. So, I mean, it's gotten to the point where I'll skip MLB spring training or not as go as much as I usually would and just go to the Korean camps instead.
That's cool. Well, speaking with Justin Schaefer, Justin is from Charm City Autographs. He is a Baltimore boy, and he is living in Tucson, and he is a member of the Air Force. Thank you for your service, Justin. We really appreciate that. Why don't you let people know how they can find you on social media?
I'm on YouTube. My YouTube channel is Charm City Autographs. You'll know you found the page because it has a picture of me and Cal Ripken on it, my baseball hero. Usually what I do is I will post, I do box breaks of Korean baseball cards, Japanese baseball cards, and Taiwanese baseball cards, just because, you know, it's stuff that people may not have ever seen or even knew existed. And then I'll usually post my, I do like an autograph wrap up every time I go to a different team's camp in spring training. I'll upload the autographs that I'm able to get then. On Facebook, I have a page, Charm City Autographs. And then on Twitter, I'm under Charm City Graphs. And there I post everything, all the jerseys that I pick up, all my TTM successes, the cards that I PC, you know, just stuff that I pick up.
And, yep, guys, check out Justin's stuff on social media. He's especially on Twitter. He's posting all the time. One last thing, and I'll let you go. You know, I know you're at work, and I appreciate your time tonight. And it was great to talk to somebody who's so passionate about collecting and about something different that, you know, a lot of people aren't into. And the one thing that really threw me a curveball was Korean basketball cards, Justin.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Korean basketball cards?
Yeah, I love it.
I think my wife would disown me if I brought those home.
No, but did you see the design? They're gorgeous cards, and they look great signed. But, their basketball games are so much fun, and you can get a courtside seat to the basketball games for, like, $20. Like, it's just so much fun. And the basketball games are just like the baseball games. They have cheerleaders. The players have their own cheer songs and just dancing and having a good time. It's so much fun. And, and sometimes you get the teams are allowed two foreign players. And so you usually get guys that used to play in the NBA. So you can get some regular like Skybox or Hoops cards signed as well. But the Korean basketball cards, I wish they would have made more of them because the cards that I was able to get signed, it was when the guys were players, but now they're either coaches or commentators, you know. So yeah. if they're not involved in league, it's kind of hard to get them. But, yeah, it was super fun to go to the games in the winter. And another one of the good things is usually the KBO guys, the Korean baseball players, they would go to the basketball games too. So I would take a handful of cards with me and I'd be able to get baseball autographs at basketball games.
Well, Justin, I think you have a book in there somewhere because you are the expert on KBO and CBL and all the and NBP, NPB. And Japanese baseball. So I'm really impressed with your passion and dedication. It was really a pleasure to talk cards and collecting with you in TTM. Guys, check out Justin's Twitter and YouTube and Facebook. He is Charm City Autographs. Check it out. He's really interesting. Follow him on Twitter. He posts all the time on Twitter. So I recommend you guys check out what Justin has to offer. Justin, I want to thank you for your service. Thank you for your time. And, you know, I know you're taking away some time from work, and I really appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And thank you for all the kind words and having me on. It was a blast. I'd love to do it again.
All right. We will talk to you later. I'm sure we'll stay in touch.
Well, that wraps up another edition of TTM Cast, the podcast for the TTM Autograph Collector. My name is Jeff Baker, and I have been your host for the program. Just want a reminder, if you have any TTM trick-or-treats that you want to share with us, please send me an email at ttmcast@yahoo.com. I'd love to just schedule a quick 5-minute interview and talk about any TTM treats, which would be any cool TTMs that you got, any TTM tricks that you might have in terms of getting TTM returns, or any horror stories you might have about TTM. So please send me a quick email and I can schedule an interview basically anytime that's convenient for you, just for like a 5-minute quick interview to review your story. So to talk about your story, and we'll record the story for a podcast in a couple weeks. So please send me an email. Let me know your TTM trick-or-treat stories, and of course anyone that we get a story from that's on the program, we will certainly send you a fun treat. So that kind of wraps up the program for the week. I want to thank Mr. Justin Schaefer for joining us today. It was a thrill to talk with him. And our next show will be next Sunday. I have a former major league pitcher that I interviewed. He wrote a book, and so I had actually interviewed him the other day, read his book, and we will talk about his new book and about his career. So tune in next week. As always, I want to thank you, the listener, for hanging around, and hopefully you enjoyed our show. And as always, wishing you many happy returns. See you next week.